Now we've got the round table assembled to take a mid-season look at the Browns. After nine games, we'll do a position-by-position breakdown. We have with us Tom Withers from the Associated Press, Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, and we've got Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon-Journal. Guys, I want to start with the obvious, quarterback. Can we say, Tom, that this is officially been an upgraded position, that the physical talent Brandon Whedon has seals that, or is there still a lot of the jury out on this guy?
I guess it depends on who you talk to. We've seen some good, we've seen some bad, and we've seen some in between, Vic. You know, Brandon has had some moments of absolute brilliance and others where he very much looks like a rookie quarterback. So I do think the jury is still out. Obviously, he's had a couple things working against him. You know, he really hasn't had the same receiving core 2 weeks in a row. And there have been some other issues. But I think by and large, it is an upgrade, in my opinion. And that, you know, we should hope to see some more development out of him over the last seven games.
Scott, the jury being out on this guy leaves some people feeling, of course, Colt McCoy has a lot of supporters. We all hear it sitting at this roundtable from our various readers or listeners or whatever that say campaign and say that, you know, Colt got the raw deal. Colt should be, every time that Whedon throws a bad pass, Colt should be in there. I mean, do you lean in that direction of thinking that that doubt should exist, or is the right thing being done to let this the 29-year-old man playing this rookie position play it out?
I understand the Colt argument, but I completely disagree with it. I think Whedon has been an upgrade since day one. That doesn't mean that the Browns might not have another win if Colt had played, because maybe he manages a game a little better. I think the upside for Whedon is way higher than McCoy's upside would ever be. I think it's unfair to grade him completely after nine games. I think he's going to get better. I think he'll get better through the last seven games after the bye. I think he'll get better next year. And I think allows the coaches to do way more with the offense than Colt ever did by throwing the ball downfield. And if you look, I think they have 30 pass plays of 20 yards or more this year, and they had 30 all of last season. And that's one stat that's enough for me to say you have to go forward with this guy.
That's a telling number. Nate, we saw the guy start lower than rock bottom in that game against Philadelphia, but he rebounded so well against Cincinnati, and he's had some strong games sort of in the middle of this nine-game run. But is it a little surprising to you that these last two have been more struggles?
Well, yeah, because I think that I kind of broke it down when I was looking at it as the first quarter of the season, the second quarter of the season, and the first four games he struggled, obviously, with the Eagles, you know, like you said, four picks, and the 5.1 passer rating is about, you know, that's about as bad as you can get. But I think he really made progress in the second quarter of the season, and then he took a step back Sunday against the Ravens. Vic, it's really tough for me to judge that Chargers game. It just is because of the conditions.
But he's got to master that. He can't.
Yeah, really. I know. And I'm not trying to give him a pass for it, but it wasn't a good game by him, it was 7-6. It wasn't really a good game by Phillip Rivers or anybody
True
except
enough.
For Trent Richardson. So I just think, here we are. Like I said, we've seen the improvement, we've seen the progress, and now we've seen some regression. And I think it's just, you know, that's going to be the type of roller coaster season that you're going to get from him as a rookie. But I agree with what Scott said, that I think you will see more progress this season and beyond with Brandon Whedon. I think he has what it takes.
Trent Richardson, on the other hand, and we'll go to running back now, who has two strong back-to-back games in his last two. But, Tom, when you look at his season, and maybe it was sort of a delayed reaction to this, the fact he missed the entire preseason while recovering from that arthroscopic knee surgery was damaging. He clearly came into the year, even though he showed something in week two that was better than week one, but I think he clearly came into the early games not prepared, as you would expect a rookie who didn't have any camp.
I totally agree, Vic. I'm not sure if we've actually seen Trent Richardson at 100% yet. I mean, you know, coming off that knee surgery and then the rib injury, and, you know, if Brandon Whedon took two steps back over the last 2 weeks, I thought Trent Richardson took two steps forward. I really thought with, you know, kind of the dancing that he showed every once in a while and maybe not being true to hitting the hole, I think that's been eliminated the last 2 weeks. I think he's really done a nice job of kind of turning up field and getting what he can get. And I still think Trent needs to learn how to maybe fall down once in a while maybe kind of give up, because I'm afraid he's going to take some unnecessary shots.
Never surrenders.
It's unbelievable the way the kid fights, and I think Nate and Scott would agree. We just like this kid's character in general. I mean, he's really infused a sense for a young kid of leadership into that locker room and a mentality that, you know what, nobody's better than us. If we go out there and we play collectively, we can beat anybody. So I think that's been an important addition along with all the other physical skills that Trent brings into that locker room.
Scott, third overall pick, the expectation is he has to be dynamic. I don't think there's any doubt what he has in terms of that skill. How do you see his fit in this offense, given that this is a throw to set up the run kind of approach?
Yeah, I think he needs to be more efficient catching the ball. And I know he had a good reputation coming out of Alabama, and I see the skills there, but he hasn't been as sure-handed as I'd like to see. And I think that sets up the run. And I thought we'd see it against the Ravens, where they throw first, get a lead, and then turn the ball over to Richardson. And I think that's how their scheme and plan is going to be throughout the season. Throw, get a lead, and then pound Richardson. And he's going to be better when he gets carry number 21, 22, 23. That's just the kind of guy he is. So I think he's a fine fit in this offense. You know, you watch all the other West Coast teams and everything they do with their backs, whether it's that little short cross over the middle where they dump the ball to him and he can turn up field, the swing passes that the Browns have been really effective with. He can do all those things, and he can stay in and pass protect, which you have to do in this offense too.
Nate, the other part about this running game is the fact that on third down, Chris Obanaya comes in. We don't see Trent in there for the most part. We see Chris Obanaya, and I guess the thinking is that – I don't guess. You know the thinking is that he's the guy who can pick up the blitz, and Pat Shurmur's comfortable with that. Smooth guy catching the football for the most part, and really a heady, smart guy, except for the illegal formation penalty that he had, which I thought was out of character for him, but a killer one that wipes out a touchdown against Baltimore this past Sunday. But what do you make of his contribution and kind of the rest of this running back position?
Oh, I think he's a good fit on third down. I think he's a good threat out of the backfield. He's made some big plays this year, and he really is a smart guy. So it's unfortunate for him to have such a bonehead play with that, misalignment. But, he gives – it's a good little change of pace. I do want to see, and I think everyone does, I want to see Trent Richardson in there on third down, proving that he can consistently gain the tough yards. Those third and ones have been difficult for him this season. He hasn't confirmed consistently. And although, I like mixing up Obanaya in there, and I understand that, because I do think he brings something to the table, I want to see Trent Richardson take that next step. And as a third overall pick, you've got to get those yards when it matters most.
It's the Roundtable with Tom Withers from the Associated Press, Scott Petrick, the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, and Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. You wanted to weigh in on
running. No, I just, third and one, we revisit that every time we get together, Vic. I just want to once, though, see a quick pitch to Richardson on third down, because I think that's the play that this team can really utilize at any spot on the field, particularly down in the red zone. I just like to see him get outside and get to the edge a little bit.
Tom, wide receiver got a lot of talk before the season started through the offseason. It was the position they had to address. It was the position where they had issues. Do we see enough progress with the way Josh Gordon has performed? Greg Little seemingly coming into his own. We know what kind of dynamic talent, speed, and so forth that Travis Benjamin brings to the table. Are we reason to feel a little better about the position?
Where is it? It's still, to me, Vic, though, it's still very hard to assess because the revolving door just keeps swinging over there. I mean, who's healthy? Who's ready? Who's active? Who's not? What works best? I don't think we've gotten to that point. And I don't think, as I mentioned earlier, I don't think we've had the same receiving core 2 weeks in a row. So I do think Josh Gordon, to me, over the last four games, has come on like nobody else on this team.
Yeah.
And I really see him as being a very important, impactful player going forward with this team, part of the nucleus along with, in my opinion, Whedon and Richardson, and we can talk about the other side of the ball. But to me, Gordon is a guy who they're just starting to figure out maybe how to utilize. I do love the fact that, he can stretch defenses over the top. Now, as far as the other parts, I think we're seeing Greg Little finally settle down. He became a little bit of a lightning rod early on with the drops, but he's played better the last couple of weeks. I think you got some underneath guys like Cooper and Norwood when he gets healthy that can do some things. I'm not sure they figured out yet how to use Travis Benjamin. And obviously, Massaquoi has had the hamstring injury. So to me, it's still a little bit incomplete. But I think, Vic, as an overall whole, when you look at that core, it's much better than it has been over the last couple of years.
Scott, the tight end spot is another one that has got some questions to it. And where do you think we stand with that? Because I thought this would be the Jordan Cameron breakout type of season, and we've seen moments here and there, but really nothing sustainable.
No, I think while we can point to the receiver and say, you know what, going forward, they may be all right at that position. They may be set. Everybody's young. At tight end, I don't think that's the case. I think that's one of the spots that you have to address in the offseason. Benjamin Watson's still a valuable contributor. He plays almost every snap. He's a blocker. He can catch the ball. He's actually made a couple guys miss and turned them into first downs the last 2 weeks, which he didn't do early in the year. Mm-hmm. But Jordan Cameron has kind of been invisible on offense. You know, him and Whedon were not on the same page Sunday that led to an interception. It almost led to back-to-back interceptions. And then Alex Smith, you've had to use at fullback because Marisic wasn't getting the job done. And I like the move of Smith to fullback. I think he gives you a physical presence on the short yardage carries. But you're not getting enough production tight end-wise. And with a rookie quarterback, you need that guy who can get open for over the middle for 6 yards, and you can do it all day long, and they just haven't gotten that production.
The story of the offensive line, I think, Nate, is that Mitchell Schwartz steps in as a right tackle and has been a pretty credible player as a rookie, a tough spot to play either tackle position as a rookie, has been solid there. And the other big story is that Jason Pinkston deals with the season-ending blood clot, and then John Greco has to fill in for him and generally seems to be doing okay. What's your big picture view of this line?
Well, yeah, I mean, when you talk about Mitchell Schwartz, I think the important thing is that we don't talk about him much. I mean, he's kind of really solidified that position they've had so many problems with over the past few years at right tackle. And, you know, he kind of got off to a rough start in the preseason. And, you know, everybody was looking at him, whoa, can he go against the wide nine? Can he handle the speed rushers in the NFL? And he's actually really, I think, stepped up lately. John Greco, I think he's done a pretty good job filling in for Pinkston. You know, obviously that's an unfortunate deal with Pinkston, but you know, I think overall, you know, he's filled in well, and the line has played pretty well, especially in pass protection. Mm-hmm. I think, obviously, we've seen Trent Richardson rush for more than 100 yards in each of the past two games. So the run blocking, you got to get, you know, tip your hat to them on the run blocking, too. I don't think it's always been there. I don't think it's always been as good as it needs to be, but I think it's all coming together. And overall, I'd say that the offensive line has played well lately.
The defensive line, really, again, the story here about two young players. Billy Winn especially has been a dynamic player. John Hughes holding his own and having to fill in quite a bit while Phil Taylor was out. And then they get Phil Taylor finally back from that pectoral injury for the first time he plays against Baltimore this season. And really, I think, starts it off pretty well from his return. Your thoughts on the line, Tom Withers?
Yeah, I thought the young guys have played exceptionally well. I mean, this team really misses a Taba Rubin in there, though. I mean, I can't wait to see he and Taylor kind of clogging that middle together. That's going to be pretty dynamic. And, you know, while Jabal Sheard hasn't had the, you know, the numbers that he put up as a rookie, he's still playing pretty well. And Dick Geron tells us every week that Jabal Sheard is going to be a big player for this team for a very long time. So I think, by and large, I've been pretty impressed with the defensive line. They seem to have finally built some depth there. You know, obviously they had the injury to Paxton in the earlier in the season. They've been a little bit soft at times in the middle, but I think that's, again, young guys learning the system and just continue to develop.
Frosty Rucker, solid.
Frost, right? Very good. Yeah.
Yeah. Scott Petrick, we look at the linebacking core, and this is, too, an area that I think we forget how hard this thing was hit by loss of experience on injury, and starting with the Chris Gokong Achilles knocking him out for the year. Scott Fujita plays a little bit and then is lost for the season. So it's down to a lot of young people who've been pushed into play, like the L.J. Forts and James Michael Johnson, and right down Craig Robertson. I mean, it's been a mixed cast. I don't know that we've seen a real difference maker come in there, but what are your thoughts?
Well, I think, first of all, thank God for DeQuell Jackson, because he weren't out there. You know, he wasn't out there the second half of the Giants game, and they gave up 200 yards rushing. And that just shows how valuable he is. And he's the one calling the defense. He's the one holding all those young guys together. And he's the only one with any experience. Kaluka may ever has a couple years, but not as a starter. And now he's forced into that starting role by the injuries. It would have been interesting. I would have liked to have seen the defense with Gokong and Fujita. Yeah. Because it brings that veteran presence. Gokong was rushing the passer last year. Fujita knows where everybody should be. But, you know, you can't get that back. So now you get young guys who are getting valuable experience. Craig Robertson's made some plays. L.J. Fort made some plays when he played in that first week, hasn't played a lot since then. And James Michael Johnson gets better every week, and you saw it against the Ravens. He made a couple plays in the backfield. So they're trying to do it with young guys, a lot of whom are undrafted, and they've shown some potential. So I think that's an area where you just got to keep your eye on, because we don't know how good these guys can be.
Nate, the secondary, the big story there, of course, Joe Hayden missing the four games from the second game on with that suspension. When he comes back, you could see the immediate difference in his presence. But other people, I mean, Sheldon Brown has had some big play moments for a guy in his, 11th season, 33 years old, and a guy who knows his way there, but Dimitri Patterson being hurt. So it's been up and down. Guys like Buster Skrine have had this, the young guys have had to step up.
Yeah, they really have, and I think Buster was the one who got thrown in the fire because, you know, Dimitri, I think, is a pretty underrated player. I think he did a really good job as the nickel corner last season, and, he's missed four games in a row, I think, with that sprained ankle. So, you know, Buster's had to fill in the slot. It's not an easy position to play. I don't think those guys get enough credit for how hard it is, and Buster's had some ups and downs this season. Obviously, you know, he's been picked on, you know, especially by, you know, Eli Manning.
Yeah.
In that Giants game. But, you know, he obviously came back. He had that big clutch pass breakup that sealed the win over the Chargers. So, you know, Buster, he's a guy who is always confident. Dick Geron will always tell you that. Buster will always tell you that. And his growth is really going to be important to the secondary. Sheldon Brown, you mentioned, he has had some big plays. He's forced some big turnovers. And, you know, he's a guy who, like you said, 11th season. A lot of people know he's lost a step, and he's probably not going to play a whole lot longer. And I'm of the feeling that, you know, the Browns really do need, and it's going to be something that's going to be on the off-season list. They need a guy to put with Joe Hayden. They just do. Yeah. And I think you see how good Joe Hayden is, and, you know, like you said, the impact he makes, but I think that they're going to have to address that other corner spot.
Tom, I'm going to say special teams. You'll say Phil Dawson, and we call it a show, right?
Is that Phil Dawson for president.
Is there anything? Kick coverage has been good.
The return game, you know, it seems like they've just been a little off on really busting one, Vic.
Yeah.
You know, Josh talks a lot about how much those units have changed over the last couple of years. And again, you've got young players in important spots. And I think sometimes we forget how important, you know, some of those blockers can be on the return game. But Phil Dawson, I mean, what more can you say about the guy? 23 in a row.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, Phil, you know, all of us always talk to Phil, but Phil always talks about how visiting kickers come in and they just marvel at what he's able to do. So I usually watch the opposing kickers kick in pregame warmups, and all you see is guys raising their arms and shaking their heads. How does this guy do it? So, you know, kudos to number four for doing it for as long as he has.
Great stuff. Tom Withers from the Associated Press, Scott Petrick, Elyria Chronicle Telegram, Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal, the Roundtable. Gentlemen, thank you, and we will continue on with Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.